This episode is brought to you by Route 11 Potato Chips. Made with a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. To learn more, visit RT11.com.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, I'm Jimmy Carboni. I'm the host here at Beer Sessions Radio. It's Tuesday, July 14th, 2020. We're doing a remote recording in our studios from home. I'm here up in Massachusetts visiting family, checking out breweries like Night Shift. But we've got a call from Joelle and Matt at Uptown Beer Society about their great new collaboration that was scheduled to come out on Puerto Rican Day, Parade Day. So we're going to talk with everyone. I'm going to go around and we're going to talk first with Kelly of Big Al. So Kelly, will you introduce yourself and tell us about how you started the project?
Hi, thanks so much for having me. My name is Kelly. I'm from New York. I lived in Puerto Rico as a kid. I came back to New York. I've been in the beer industry for a little over 4 years now. I currently work for Big Alice Brewing and have been there for over two. This project started just simply because I noticed immediately in my time in the industry was women and Latin women and Latinos in general were very underrepresented. So this was a beer, like I had a few different ideas for a Puerto Rican inspired beer. And I started to share those ideas with John and Dom last year. Finally, I felt comfortable enough to send John an email with a whole bunch of different recipe ideas, different flavor profiles for Puerto Rican recipes, and we landed on Palante.
So, Kelly, so just back us up. So, what is your role at Big Alice Brewing, and is this a normal process of coming up with beers at that brewery?
I have been a bartender there for 2 years. I'm also the curator for their art gallery in the Barrel Room down in Industry City, Brooklyn. And I think that one of the best things about Big Alice is when you have any idea, it's important to share that because they're listening. They're always listening for new ideas. So it was harder to share these ideas with other places I worked, but here they just welcomed it. And even when the idea seemed complex, it wasn't an automatic no. It was kind of like, oh, we'll see. Let's see. And I just appreciate that it took a while for it to come to fruition, but it was still an idea that they were willing to sit on, think about, and eventually take that risk.
So we know that, I mean, just with your collaborators here, Joel and Matt, you know, we've talked about driving culture forward and about, you know, Latinx culture in New York City in the Bronx. How does this beer represent that? Like, what are the flavors? What are the inspirations? Is this a beer that you would have drinking in Puerto Rico, or this is just more of an inspiration? You want to come in, Joel?
I mean, yeah. Like Kelly said, there was a bunch of ideas thrown on the table, and the one that made the most sense to brew was a arroz con dulce, which is like a sweet rice pudding dessert. It just made sense because it was like the primary we did, the spices and the rice, blonde. And then I was just like, how do we make this more Puerto Rican? I was just sitting there like thinking, how do we make this beer more Puerto Rican? And I was like, what if we barrel aged it? And I was like, I know a distillery in the South Bronx, good friends of mine, Port Morris Distillery. I was like, he can only make, I think, one. He'll tell you the process. I think it's one or two times that he can age his moonshine in the whiskey barrel, which is called Añejo. And then after that, it's like, you know, they either like somebody picks it up for something. I think he did a beer previously with somebody. I'm not sure. But I was like, if we barrel age it in Añejo, just, you know, it would get those really rum, like boozy notes. And we could sit on it because we were talking about this in like December. We could sit on it the whole year. Obviously, we didn't know there was a quarantine, and release it for the Puerto Rican Day Parade. So after, you know, after we like transferred the beer into the barrels, we added the raisins and the vanilla beans, just to like sit and kind of bring those esters out of what, you know, the rice pudding dish is actually tasting like in our homes.
Well, it sounds great. And how is it going over? I mean, it's been out now for a month. Is it all sold out or is it still available?
Yeah, it's sold out. It was a small batch, so everybody got a few cases from each account. Craft Culture, Taproom 307, since I'm there, got it. And I believe the two Big Alice locations and Bronx Tavern, which is right next to Port Morris Distillery. It's there. Their other bar as well. It was super successful, though.
No, it's great. And Joel, it's a great image. Everything about it is special. We're going to get to it. But I want to talk Cesar from Craft Culture in Queens. Cesar, tell us your involvement in the project and, you know, how it did for you at your bar, but also what it means to you to be part of this project.
In all honesty, I have to tip my hat to Joel and especially to Kelly. They brought me into this. I didn't have too much involved in the development of it. I was basically a labor worker that day, and I appreciate it because it was my first like actual hands-on brewing experience. And it definitely opened me up to a couple more opportunities in the future. So I'm very thankful and appreciative of being able to be part of that. As far as how it did at Craft Culture, it actually flew really well. A lot of my customers were happy to see us involved. I'm personally not Puerto Rican, but a lot of my closest friends, my wife, and a lot of people in my that are my customer base are Puerto Rican or half Puerto Rican. So it was good to see them get their representation out there. And the only shame was not being able to enjoy this like as a full celebration, like we wanted to do it for the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
Yeah, let's go back to Kelly again to the, you know, the origins of this project. You're working with Friends of Puerto Rico. You know, there were some issues before COVID and that were big time, and Puerto Rico's been hit hard. Seems like the last 10 years, it's been forgotten by so many people. Just tell us, you know, some of your thoughts on that.
I agree. Puerto Rico is so complicated, and it's so infuriating for me because everything just turns into a political bargaining chip for people, for politicians, and it's annoying. These are people we're talking about. The quality of life there is very poor, and I'm looking for organizations and businesses that want to inform and educate people about Puerto Rico, the history, what it means to be a Puerto Rican person. And there are no right or wrong answers. I'm not in favor of one thing or the other. I recognize what the benefits could be of certain things or what the cons could be to those things as well. Friends of Puerto Rico came on my radar when once the beer was approved and John said, do you want to collaborate with people? And I said, yes, I have just the group. And he said, what about any charitable organizations? And John explained to me at that time, you know, he said he would welcome that oftentimes when they brew beers like this, especially, for example, the Pride beer, they have contributed proceeds of the sales for some of the proceeds of those sales to organizations that have helped. So they just wanted this to extend to the Puerto Rican culture. So I reached out immediately to a lot of my childhood friends, people I grew up with in Puerto Rico, some of them who are still living there and are struggling. And they don't want to leave because that is where they're from. That's where they're born. That's where their families are. That's where their homes are. And just because they could probably get something better, so to speak, in the States doesn't mean that they should have to leave Puerto Rico. So Friends of Puerto Rico is a small organization that was founded in 2015 by a group of friends who had come together to create a fundraiser for the Museo del Arte, the Museum of Art in Ponce, which is on the southeast side of the island. They had wound up raising $20,000 for that event and decided that they were just going to keep doing this. And their initiatives have grown. They work with children to help them financially find stability, to educate them to make sure that they have placement in schools, that they have the funds to do that. And then especially over the last 4 years with Hurricane Irene, Hurricane Maria, and the devastation that caused, people left the island. Doctors were leaving the island because they couldn't do anything. Teachers left because they couldn't find work anymore. Schools were closed down. It was truly devastating to that island and to the economy and to the people. So it was my childhood best friend who said, you should look into this organization. I know for a fact that they're flying people off the island who need it, people who need medical attention, older people who needed to get to their families in the States. And they were also working with other organizations. And now I'm learning how deep their roots are and how they are work. They have tons of partnerships now with a lot of Puerto Rican businesses and a lot of non-Latin businesses who care about what's happening and who want to support that. So Friends is pretty amazing. Their initiatives, again, are just, you know, very wide about, so, you know, it starts with a lot of kids, but they're just working across the globe with anybody who is willing to participate.
Kelly, your Instagram is at VetHead. I'm a big fan of yours, just so you know.
Thanks. I'm a big fan of yours.
Well, I'm glad you're. Let's go to Raphael next for a second. So, Raphael, give us a little backstory on the spirit that you make that's Puerto Rican in origin and some of the, you know, the terms, other terms that are used for this type of Puerto Rican moonshine and how you got started in the Bronx.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Ralph Barbosa. I'm co-owner of Port Morris Distillery. We're located in the South Bronx. We do a spirit that's called Pitorro. Pitorro is a Puerto Rican moonshine. It's actually our drink of choice on the island of Puerto Rico. Most people, when they think of Puerto Rico, they think of Bacardi. I'm here to tell you we don't drink Bacardi. We drink Pitorro. That's what we do. The way we make it is with New York apples and honey, and we just create different flavors with it. So we're known for our coquito, coconut. We do a ginger, a habanero. We also do an añejo, which is an aged version, which is why Joel called us to use our barrel. Thank you, Joel, for plugging us on, and Matt. And I just met Kelly and Caesar today for the first time. So nice to meet you guys too. Actually, Kelly, we might be trying to steal you, so you come work over with us from Big Alice. I'm just kidding.
Oh, I'd love that.
I think you're super dope.
But Ralph, how has it impacted your business? I mean, you're selling the beer at the distillery, or?
Well, actually, we sold out. We got lucky enough. Big Alice, instead of giving us what they gave everybody else, they gave us two more cases because we own another bar. I don't know if you guys knew that, but we got the hookup, so we got two more cases, and we sold out in a day. We sold out in a day and a half. So the Saturday, the day of the Puerto Rican Day Parade, which was supposed to happen that Sunday, we actually opened up for the first time, and we did everything to go, and so a lot of people did come over, and the Palante beer was sold out that day. So it did really well. What I do have to say about the beer is I wasn't there when they were making it. I had no idea what was in the recipe. I can tell you my daughter actually said, she runs our social media, and she said she hoped that she had the video running when I actually cracked the beer and tasted it, because it just brought me right to home. Like, it brought me to my childhood. The Rocon Dulce, like, you can just taste it, the remnants of my childhood and my mother, like, giving us, you know, the Rocon Dulce. It was an amazing beer. Everybody loved it. I mean, it was a totally big hit. So, you know, we were just glad to be a part of the collaboration, and glad, you know, that we were able to give our Añejo barrels to someone and have them just create something that nice and that cool.
So back to Joel or Matt, you know, how did you get those flavors? You know, how do you make a beer taste like Arroz con Dulce?
I mean, we looked at, Kelly did a good job, and the brewers and everybody at Big Alice just looking into the recipe. Kelly hit her mom up and her family. I looked into some things, and I'm a big, like, coconut vanilla guy. I think those flavors really bring things out. And I was really pushing, like, we should add this in the barrel. And you know, it's a risk. You don't know what's going to happen. And they did, you know, the vanilla, the coconut, the raisins, and it literally, if you have coquito from Port Morris Distillery, which is like a 35%, kind of, it's kind of like a better Malibu. I don't even want to call it that, but they make a Coquito version. And when I cracked the beer and smelled it with Matt, it was like, yo, this shit smells just like their Coquito spirit. And we tried it, and like, you know, it's pretty much our favorite beer we've ever done, just because like everything was on point, from like the sourcing of the barrel to the ingredients to the people a part of it to the liquid, the consistency of the beer, the flavors weren't like exaggerated, but it was just so perfect. And yeah, if Matt, if you want to chime in a little.
Yeah. I actually want to give a big shout out to Big Alice too. They did an amazing job, you know, putting together the recipe and actually brewing the beer. And a big shout out to John from Big Alice for being so forward thinking in so many ways. A lot of the times when you do beers that are connected to different cultures, I feel like it's a very thin line between exploiting someone's culture and you know, making profit, but not necessarily supporting or uplifting. And they've been very forward thinking from the beginning, with even with mentioning to Kelly about including some charitable organizations and really letting us, you know, take creative control and make the best possible beer that we could have made.
And what do you think of the beer, Matt? I mean, Matt, give yourself some credit. Tell us where you're working or will be working, because you're one of the top beer guys.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I mean, I'm at the Grand Delancey currently. We were shut down for a while. Grand Delancey's a bar in the Essex Street Market. I mean, those guys are pretty incredible, the guys that we work with, from Greg Enger to Alex and Sam, and the whole team really is a phenomenal beer team. And I'm also in Bushwick currently in a new vegan restaurant called The Gradient. I'm actually planning on giving them a big overhaul with their beer program and cocktail program. And yeah, we've been busy these days, but we're really trying to push the Uptown Beer Society agenda forward and really spread love and do things that are cool for the culture and you know, for beer in general.
Yeah, we always remember to come back to the Bronx. That's why like PMD was so important. We wanted to do something with them for so long. And I was like, this is the perfect opportunity to do another thing for our borough and involve our borough. So yeah, and Bronx Beer Hall came on the brew day and we were just mashing in, and you know the deal.
So when did you decide to bring in Port Morris and, you know, age the beer in barrels?
Well, they originally wanted to age it in like a rum barrel, but I was like, they ain't nothing rum Puerto Rican in New York. So I was like, the closest thing, which is kind of like a rum, is a moonshine, except for the New York apples and honey, which make it a moonshine. And it was like, duh, Raphael's distillery, you know?
Yeah, we're blessed with a lot of cool friends like Ralph and, you know, the guys at the beer hall and Kelly. So we, whenever these things happen, we always kind of look back at our network and our family to see that who can we involve and who can, you know, elevate whatever it is we're trying to achieve. So, yeah, Ralph and Kelly and everyone really pulled this one together. So all credit to them.
So then who's going to tell me about the word Palante, what it means, why you picked that for this project? Is that Kelly?
Kelly should go. Yeah. And it's crazy because it just fit with the theme of what's going on.
Yeah. I, before Kelly even goes into it, it's just amazing how that, you know, that phrase kind of worked out so perfectly in today's climate with, you know, all the madness going on.
I loved it. So I knew when I was coming up with the beer, and on our collaboration day when we were all standing together and we were throwing out a few like initial ideas, I had two ideas in mind, but I knew I didn't like them, but I knew that they were going in the direction of where I wanted this beer to go and to represent. And so the words I had chosen were unidad, which is unity, or comunidad, which is community. And I loved it because the first thing these guys said when they walked through the door, Joel and Matt were like, oh my God, we've always wanted to brew a Big Alice. And like, you know, and it's always flattering to see John and Dom get excited. Like, oh, cool. We're working with new people too. And this is a challenge. And it was a risk because of the ingredient base and how it sort of evolved. But Palante was Anthony's suggestion. And we all went back and forth, and I had gotten real political using like Puerto Rican poets and quotes from them. And Caesar's like, can we use someone who's alive? Like, here's a really awesome quote from, you know, a Puerto Rican politician. And I loved Anthony's email because in the email, he wrote, some are in line with the message of resilience. And when we landed on Palante, it just made sense then. And then in June, when everything was happening, it really just blew up to me, especially I feel so, I think I can say I relate to what they're saying is, you know, what it means now is not necessarily what it meant back in January and February, but what it has become is so beautiful and so meaningful. I think that we really do represent something beautiful, like that we are breaking down a lot of barriers, that we're working together, that this is not a one-time collaboration. I'm hoping that this opens doors for everybody in a lot of different ways. I know Friends of Puerto Rico works with a liquor store in Georgetown, D.C., and that owner wants to get Pitorro and Port Morris Distillery products in that store to represent Puerto Rican culture. You know, it's just...
Hey, Kelly, for the English-speaking friends of ours, could you explain what Palante means?
Oh, yes. It just means move forward. I'm sorry I didn't start with that. Palante means to move forward, and it has always been used to represent, like, just getting forward, moving forward, getting ahead.
I would love to bring the group together on a yearly basis and just kind of do this with different things with Port Morris barrels. Always in, you know, around the Puerto Rican Day parade time, so that people know that this is our time.
Absolutely.
And it's great. Let me just, Ralph, just on that note, so Pitado, how do you serve it? Is there like a house cocktail you make it with? Is it served neat? Give us a couple of ways to drink it so I can get into it.
The añejo would be preferably, you know, should be neat, or, you know, if you want to do it on the rocks, but I prefer neat. So it falls more like an aged whiskey or aged rum. Right now the añejo is a little over 4 years. In October, it'll be 5 years old, the barrels that we pulled from. And since we're not a whiskey or a rum, we get to play around with our añejo. So we draw from multiple barrels in order for us to create batches. So what we'll do is, if we have a 25-gallon barrel, we'll draw about 2 or 3, 4 or 5 gallons from that barrel, and draw from like 4 or 5 other barrels just to create a 40 batch bottling run. So neat. If you want to do a cocktail with it, you know, something more like a rum and coke or something like that would be good with it, or ginger ale, or people just play around and just create, you know, different cocktails with it. But I prefer it.
And then you told me the history of like these types of moonshines, which is distilled spirits in Puerto Rico. What are some of the other names that it goes by?
So, depending on where you are on the island, my family and our culture, you know, we were born and, you know, raised drinking Pitorro. Now, I'm not going to say born, but we were raised drinking Pitorro. In our town, it's called more Pitorro. The biggest name for it will be Cañita, which is, known all over the island. Pitriche is another name. Lágrima de la Montaña, which means tears of the mountain. So, you know, when moonshiners are distilling, they use the water from the mountain. So, you know, that would be another name. So, depending on where you're on the island, it can be called multiple names.
And how was it for you opening a distillery in New York? And did you bring over an old distiller from Puerto Rico to help you get started?
Yes, we did. We brought over my uncle. I'm named after my grandfather, but he says I'm named after him. We're both Ralph Rafael. So, yes, he's a longtime moonshiner, over 60 years moonshining in Puerto Rico. We had the privilege to have him in New York City for the first 5 years, from the inception of PMD to the like the first year of us actually distilling in our copper pot. Because before that, we used to actually distill before we turned on the copper pot. We actually distilled in like an old moonshine still, which is still at the distillery. So if you come over for a tour or tasting, you would see that old still there.
And give us so where are you in the Bronx? Just tell everyone how to find you, because this is pretty exciting.
So we're Port Morris Distillery, or people know us PMD, or they know the Pitorro Bar. Just Google us. You'll find us. We're in the South Bronx. We're located right under the Triborough Bridge. So we're the furthest south of the Bronx you can get, 133rd Street. So it's 780 East 133rd Street, Bronx, New York, 10454. Or just follow us on social media. All social media platforms will be PMD Pitorro or Port Morris Distillery.
Hey, I also think it's worth mentioning, not only is it a beautiful craft spirit that they make, it's the only Pitoro distillery in America, if I'm not mistaken, right, Ralph?
As of now, we didn't have, but someone just opened up another one in Maryland, so we have to definitely give them their shout outs. Is a husband and wife team. I don't know their names off the top of my head, but they're definitely on social media. They're actually called Puerto Rico Distillery. We have no we're not attached to them or anyway, but as Joel and Matt know me, I give everybody a shout out. So they actually reached out to us that they were opening up this distillery. They asked us, you know, would we mind if they can use the word Pitoro on that bottle? We were like, absolutely not. It's a word for all of us, for the public, for Puerto Ricans. So they're actually the second distillery in the mainland that's actually doing Pitoro.
Okay. Well, in my heart, you're still the only one.
Well, you're the first.
Absolutely. Thank you, man.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Root 11 Potato Chips. From the moment Root 11 dropped their first batch of chips back in the early days of 1992, they understood their destiny as a high-quality producer. Instead of succumbing to the frenzy of mass production, they took advantage of their small size and made chipping a personal art form. The payoff was immediate, an incredible potato chip. With a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. In this world of uncertainty that we live in, Root 11 Potato Chips believe comfort food can be just that. Know where your food comes from. To learn more, visit rt11.com.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're talking about the Palante collab with some of our Bronx friends and Big Alice Brewing. And we're in our second session now. I want to give a shout out to Ralph from Port Morris Distilling in the Bronx and Cesar from Craft Culture in Ridgewood, Queens, who are on the first half. So now we're on the second half now. Still here with Joel and Matt from Uptown Beer Society, Kelly from Big Alice Brewing, and Anthony and Paul Ramirez of the Bronx Beer Hall have joined. So let's do it this time. Everyone, just say their name and where they work, just briefly, so we've got everybody's name.
My name is Joel Suarez. I'm co-founder of Uptown Beer Society. I also bartend and do a beer program at Taproom 307 in Gramercy and bartend in Circa Brewing in downtown Brooklyn.
Hey, I'm Matt Negron. I am one of the co-founders of Uptown Beer Society, also one of the top bar guys in the Grand Delancey.
My name is Kelly Coffey. I work as a beer tender at Big Alice Brewing.
My name is Anthony Ramirez II. I'm co-owner at the Bronx Beer Hall from the Bronx, Taste of the Bronx, and Mainland Media.
My name is Paul Ramirez. I'm co-owner at the Bronx Beer Hall from the Bronx, Taste of the Bronx, and Mainland Media.
So the first half, we set the stage for this great collab. I mean, you guys have done so many things. You know, let me just, Joel and Matt, you know, you guys have had several Bronx Culture Series collabs, and this is a new one with Kelly. So, Kelly, earlier you said that Anthony had helped inspire you with the name, the Palante, move forward. Let's talk about that again. Anthony, just tell us how you heard about the project, how you got involved, how you helped name it. Give us your perspective on this beer.
Sure. So, you know, we've worked with the guys at Uptown Beer Society now on, well, three beers outside of this one. Well, actually, four beers, I think, right, guys?
It's a handful.
I'm losing track.
Oh, it's a lot. It's like
a lot.
Bronx Party, it's like 10 with y'all.
Yeah. So, but we've been working together, on several beers, and there are many, many to list and name. And so obviously when the opportunity came up to work with them again on another beer, we jumped at it. It's a no-brainer. You know, we're Bronx guys. We're proud Puerto Rican guys. We are all about our communities. And it was just another opportunity to showcase what makes us special and share it with the beer community. And when we were doing the naming process, I mean, you saw the photos earlier. I think Jimmy said I looked like I was at a Texas barbecue or something. you know, you could tell there's camaraderie there. There's we were there to celebrate our friendship and our culture. And Balanta, you know, we all had a bunch of different input on the names, but I think that's the one that won out because it's moving forward. And Puerto Rico has been through a lot in the past couple of years under this administration, you know, where we had to fight to even be considered members of the United States. We had to fight to be considered for assistance when there were hurricanes on the island and earthquakes and all that. So no matter what, we are resilient people and we're moving forward. And that was kind of the theme of the project.
Great. And then all that, you know, Bronx culture, Puerto Rican culture, what is Boricua? How do I...
Boricua.
Boricua.
I think we should all say it one time, yeah, exactly. One good time.
Exactly.
Boricua.
Boricua.
There we go.
That was good. That was good.
But Anthony, you're the culture guy, so tell us what Boricua is.
Sure. Boricua... I don't know where I became the culture guy, but that's cool. Boricua, as far as I remember, is the name of Puerto Rico's indigenous Indians, the Taino, that they gave to the island. And for the literal translation, I believe it's something along the lines of valiant or valiant people, but someone else may have to help me out on that.
Well, I mean, you know, we definitely know that Boricua it resonates hard, especially here in the United States. If you were to even Google it, it's just straight up Puerto Ricans that live in the U.S. And it's something that we say definitely to identify one another. Definitely something that we say to give overarching name just for our people. So, I mean, you hear it when the parades are coming, you hear it in the streets, you know, you hear it when Spanish music just comes on in a party, you know, somebody just screams Boricua over the microphone and everybody wilds out for it, you know?
That's great.
Yeah, it was Boricuan before the Spanish conquistadors came in. Hunter-gatherers. But yeah.
No, tell me more. You can go deeper, guys, because this has been like the collaborations you guys have been doing. I know that especially Matt and Joel and Anthony and Paul, you are trying to define who you guys are, what your community is, in the context of New York City and beer and hospitality, in ways that no one else is. So I want to go through each one of you: Joel, Matt, Kelly, and Anthony and Paul. And you would tell me how you see, you know, with Boricua, you know, how it influences your role in your industry, and you know, other things you want to tell me.
Yeah, so, well, even from the beginning, from the first collaboration, we did Dominican, you know, inspired beers, and we kind of wanted to do Puerto Rican, and, you know, down the line, we want to do everything. We want to do Haitian, we want to do Jamaican, we want to involve all the cultures that are underrepresented in New York City, especially when breweries are using fancy names that come from the cultures and not involving the people, not giving back. You know, there's been several beers, I'm not going to call anybody out, but there's been several Coquito beers, no proceeds being given. There's been several Spanish. There's been several like Bronx, New York hip hop lingos. We all know the story and nothing. No one has been involved. No one has been given back. So even, you know, when we're involved, we make sure that the brewery is given back somehow to our communities or to an organization that can help, especially what was going on in Puerto Rico. We saw what was going on and we wanted to do something to help. And now you can see today, there's a lot of people standing up for their culture, their community. We have the whole Black Lives Matter movement, which is, you know, all of that has been our thesis since day one, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely are always inspired by the things that we grew up with and grew around. And, you know, Boricua culture is one of those things, Bronx culture, hip hop culture. And really, so much of the world's culture is influenced by Boricua culture in many ways that people don't actually realize. And it's a super, I mean, if you're from New York City, like Puerto Rican culture is almost synonymous with like New York City culture in some ways. There's actually more Puerto Ricans in New York than there are in Puerto Rico. I'm one of those. And, yeah, we always just try to like really be true to ourselves and represent what is true to us. And yeah, I mean, it feels good to be connected to so many awesome things. So why not, you know, be proud and celebrate that.
And Kelly, just want to get everyone to have their take on it.
Boricua, growing up in Puerto Rico and originally from New York, my dad's family is Irish, my mom's family is Puerto Rican. For me, the purpose is always just to remind people that my sister and I as white Latinas are products of friendship and love that go back over 60 years when it was not accepted. We are united by that. And it really just means it's exactly what was said earlier, that people don't really understand how deep rooted the Puerto Rican culture is in everyday New York life. And it spreads. It's not just here. It's in Florida. It's in California. I'm here to just kind of bring awareness and attention to Puerto Ricans and what's happening.
And then Paul.
Hey, how you doing? I mean, I'm exactly what Kelly said. You know, Puerto Ricans are everywhere, you know, and our culture runs deep. And, you know, salsa is something that started here predominantly in the Bronx, but has resonates, you know, through all of Latin America and through all over the world. And it's a culture that's, you know, meant to be respected. You know, it's very deep. It goes all the way back to the 1400s. And, you know, it's something that, like, nowadays, Puerto Rican culture is synonymous with, like she said, with New York City. I mean, there's a huge population of Puerto Ricans in Montana. They call themselves Montericans, you know, so we're everywhere and we've spread everywhere. And we're just here to make sure that we represent that properly.
And Anthony?
Yeah, I think I said it at the top. We're here to, because of the love we have for our culture and for our community. And it's something that we're incredibly proud of, and it resonates in everything that we do. And, you know, like everyone has said so far, I mean, the East Coast, if you tell someone you're Spanish on the East Coast, they assume you're Puerto Rican. If you tell them you're Spanish on the West Coast, they assume you're Mexican. And Puerto Ricans are all, you know, are now infiltrating even the Middle America and the West Coast. We're everywhere. And people only know, and people don't know everything there is to know about us. They know that, you know, they know that we're a commonwealth. Some people aren't even sure if we're citizens or if we are citizens. And that becomes like another sticking point. And so really everything that we do is working to raise awareness, let people know that we're here, that we're not going anywhere and we matter. And no matter what happens, we're moving forward.
And in New York, there's a lot of history about, you know, Puerto Rico as whether it was going to be independent or a state. If I had been born in Puerto Rico, could I run for president?
Yes. You're an American citizen. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
You're an American.
You get
citizen.
An American passport. You use American money. You can enroll in the American military. That American military is who's protecting the island. And yeah, of course.
Mark
you can
Anthony
president.
Said it best.
You can be
He's as
you want.
Puerto Rican as American pie or some shit.
Yes.
Is that what he said?
He said something.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, you guys have educated me a lot over the last couple of years, but it's also like, yeah, with the Black Lives Matters, I think we're trying to get everyone's voice to really come out more, because I feel like that every culture has a story, but you guys are teaching me a little. So it's Boricua, right? Boricua.
Yes, yeah, perfect.
Boricua.
You gotta say it you with got some it. Attitude. You gotta throw some sass in there.
Yeah,
come on.
Definitely, Jimmy. You got more sass than that.
Boricua. So let's go to the other.
You're sassy,
let's go
dude.
To the other projects. Get me in safe ground. Let's go. So the ones you did, the ones recently this summer. Joel, tell me about the other summer projects you guys launched.
So, around last summer, fall, I chopped it up with Dave from Gun Hill Brewery, and he wanted to collab. He's like, I saw him at the brewery. He's like, why haven't we done a beer with you and Bronx Beer Hall? And you, he meant Uptown Beer Society, Bronx Beer Hall. And I'm like, I don't know, because we wanted to do our first beer with you. So he's like, all right, come up with some ideas. We'll put something in the calendar. So I came up with three ideas that I pitched him, and he wanted to do all three. So I was like, awesome. I was like, let's make it a Bronx culture series and let's involve four big Bronx brands. And that's why, you know, the first two were involved with First Borough Brewing, which was a home brewery. They couldn't really make this last one. Beer Culture, which wrote a book called The Beer That You Ain't Used To. He also has a clothing brand. Shout out to Beer Culture. Bronx Beer Hall being the actual brick and mortar in the Bronx, which has done a lot, not only for craft beer and put, you know, people of color onto craft beer, but they've kind of made you want to get into beer just by involving the other cultural elements, whether it's dance parties, you know, exhibits, pop-ups, etc. Even with Taste of the Bronx. And from the Bronx, they do a lot of like pop-ups with different brands and just a lot of sharing resources. So we spearheaded it with the Mama's Candy Yams because we wanted to make like a pumpkin festive beer, but we didn't really, you know, everybody knows pumpkin. So we draw inspiration from Matthew's mother, which was the Mama's Candy Yams. And we put all three moms, all three different colors on the can. Then, you know, we really wanted to be quiet about the Mr. Stouty one because we didn't want nobody to bite that shit. It always happens when I say something, somebody takes an idea and I'm just like, damn, you didn't even do it right. So thankfully, you know, thanks to Paul and Anthony, actually, they were the ones that, you know, visited Mr. Softy, emailed them. They got Mr. Softy on board because we don't want to just do an idea and steal somebody's intellectual property. We want to give you a shout out. You know, we don't want to make money off your name. We want to make money off of what we know, what's from our culture, what we can represent. And we want you to give you the respect to put you on the can and be like, you approve this. So they gave us their logos. They sent us everything. And then the third one, I mean, quarantine had already hit by Mr. Stouty. And it was just like, damn, how are we going to sell this? Blah, blah, blah. But people actually went to the brewery and to Bronx Beer Hall because they needed beer. Like they were home. They were unemployed. They had unemployment checks. They want to spend money. They want to support. With the last one too, Paul and Anthony, again, their relationship with Delicioso Coco Helado, which is, you know, known for their IC carts around New York City, not only in the Bronx, but in Brooklyn and Queens. I've seen them all over, you know, underserved neighborhoods. You got that one guy or woman in the corner with a little fanny pack serving you an affordable IC. They use all natural, like, fruits for their stuff. They've been on Vice. They're just, you know, between them and Mr. Softy, they're in the Bronx producing. And they're just very inspirational to our childhood and, you know, to our children's childhood that are going out. So we involved them. They were down.
Oh, yeah. So we've covered on the show in the last year, we covered Mama's Candy Yams. We covered Mr. Stouty. Let's just go. So Anthony or Paul, just tell us that how you guys reached out to and the contact you made with the Mr. Softy people. Because that is important what Joel said, that you're including them.
Sure, I'll start with Mr. Softy, and Paul can talk about Delicioso Coco. But Mr. Softy, you know, like everything good and evil, it starts on Instagram. And we run a couple of Instagram pages. We run From the Bronx Beer Hall and Taste of the Bronx, and we're always putting up, like Joel said, we're always putting things up from our community, things from that remind us of our childhoods and that make people nostalgic. And one of those things is Mr. Softy trucks. So we posted tons of pictures of Mr. Softy during the summer months and people holding their ice cream cones and tagged them and started sort of a relationship back and forth, just DMing on Instagram, nothing dirty, just ice cream. And after, you know, when we started talking about the idea to make the beer, we hit him up and was able through our Instagram contact, got in touch with Jim Conway, who's the vice president of Mr. Softy and the son of the original owner. And, you know, was after a couple of emails, was able to get him on the phone and he loved the idea. I don't think at first he was kind of like, wait, you're going to do what? You're going to make ice cream beer? I don't get it. But after, you know, telling him the story of the beer hall, telling him about Uptown Beer Society and about the Gun Hill Brewery and Firstboro, you know, he started to see what our vision was. And he was kind of he was a little bit flattered. And he said, you know, you guys have my blessing. Whatever you come up with, I'm sure it's going to be great. Just, you know, I'd love to taste some when it gets released. And that was pretty much it. You know, we were able to get some ice cream, some cones, some sprinkles for the brew. But other than that, you know, he was kind of let us do our own thing. Great.
So now, Paul, let's go to the new one because this is we're covering a lot today. So the new one, the Delicioso Coco release.
Delicioso Coco Helado is a Bronx staple. They have a facility on 161st Street and St. Anne's Avenue in the Bronx. They've been there since 1960. Bought the building in 1960, opened the facility in 1966. The business existed well before that. But as Bronxites and as New Yorkers, it's something that you automatically associate with summertime, right? It's one of those things. The same way that you wait for that Mr. Softy jingle to be coming down your block, it's the same thing. When you see a vendor selling in Coco Helado, you're going to stop and you're going to get, you know, whatever flavor it is you want. And one of the most popular flavors is mixing all three when you get the cherry coco mango. And that's really the coco cherry mango. That's really a big deal for us as Bronxites and as Boricuas, I think. You know, I think Latino culture, we like our desserts and we like our refreshment and we like it sweet. We like it sugary. And that's something that they do really well. So when Joel came up with the idea for us, again, you know, working with Uptown Beer Society is always a no-brainer. You know, it seemed like it's something that resonates really, really well with Bronxites, really well with New York and Latinos across the board. You know, so I reached out and, you know, they were, like Anthony said, they were, same thing with Mr. Softy, they were very... they were happy to work with us. They were happy for the idea. They were happy to get some brand recognition on something other than their actual cocos and the actual, you know, the carts that walk through the street. They really see that as just furthering their image and furthering their reach overall. So, you know, they jumped on board with it. Her father, Sophia, was my contact there. Her father started the company on his own. He actually went to Puerto Rico. He's Honduran, married to a Puerto Rican woman, went to Puerto Rico somewhere in the mid-50s. She said 1956. Had a coco helado in Puerto Rico and was like, we need this in New York. And he came back on a mission and he created his brand. It's now over 50 years strong. And like we said, a Bronx, New York staple.
And so you were able to, you know, modify the logos and use the name in the packaging.
Yeah.
And everything.
No need to modify the logos. You know, we use their logo. You know, it's they completely approved of it. One of the biggest stipulations actually in creating it was that, you know, we kept true to the cart design that her father made in the 1950s. He's the one who decided this is what my carts look like. The green had to be his green. And, you know, we replicated that in the can and it's been it just came out last Friday. But it's been a big hit, you know, a big hit for Bronxites across the board, a big hit for Latinos and New Yorkers.
You know, and
beer drinkers.
And beer drinkers. Yes. and even non-beer drinkers, and that's the big plus. Even non-beer drinkers.
That's right.
Okay, just one more thing. I got Paul on. Both Paul and Anthony, you know, you guys are standouts to me, partly because at Bronx Beer Hall, you guys have been good beer sealed bars going way back. But you're more than that. Paul, how do you interact with, you know, the Bronx in general? What other things are you involved in? And what's your vision for what the Bronx should be or is?
I mean, how do I interact with it? I am the Bronx, bro. That's how I see it, you know, and everything that's BX, it runs through our veins. You know, we're born and raised here. My entire education was here from elementary school straight through my college degrees, as well as the education I received outside of a classroom, you know, just on the streets of the BX. You know, a lot of people have negative stigma attached to the what the Bronx is. And, you know, they're really thinking about our past. They're thinking about the 70s and they're thinking about when the Bronx was burning and the crack epidemic. And we're really here just to show them that's all behind us, you know. And the same thing when we say palante, like we're always moving forward, never backwards. Like there's no reason for that. And now we're in position, you know, where we do have several businesses that really uphold the concept or the idea of raising the image of the borough and just pushing it further. You know, it's about awareness. There's a lot of things to be proud of in the Bronx. And if you know, I always say if hip hop is a $1 billion industry and it started right here in our streets, then how come people aren't paying attention to what we're doing today?
Yeah. And I remember years ago when I first went up to the Bronx and you guys were part of you were serving beer at a cultural event at the Bronx Museum. So
that's right.
Yeah. So if you want to give any more shout outs to some of those projects you work with.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, go ahead, Anthony. Yeah, Anthony can drop it.
Yeah, I mean, we have tons of projects to work with. So our most recent one. So when you met us first, we were at the Bronx Museum and we were doing like we were donating our time and donating some beer for a event featuring local vendors and local businesses as Bronx business owners for the past 16 years or something like that. We now... our most recent business, Taste of the Bronx, is a partnership with another Bronx company called Sustainable Snacks. And it really exists to help small business owners get out and reach their audiences within the borough. So, you know, it's not, we know how difficult it is to start your own business. We know how difficult it is to get the word out about what you're doing. And so after, you know, like I said, years, 16 years of doing this, we wanted to help other people who were just starting on their path to opening and running businesses. So Taste of the Bronx, before COVID, was a monthly pop-up market where we would feature 20 to 25 vendors, one of which we did a beer release with Uptown Beer Society, Gun Hill, and First Borough Brewing. And it's also a quarterly subscription box where we feature 5 to 6 different businesses, each box, all different, I mean, from food vendors to t-shirts to woodworkers and everything in between. So again, it's not just about our businesses, it's about our community, and it's about the people who live in our community, who work in our community, and we're just trying to give them a hand. And as of last month, we shipped out about 250 to 300 Taste of the Bronx boxes across the US. Like Joel said, people are home, they're not working, and I guess they're shopping online. So it was a good time to help these businesses spread the word about what they're doing.
Let's go back to the beer. So Matt, you know, I know we talked about Mr. Stouty before. We know that was a stout. We talked about that project. But this new one, the cocoa beer.
It's a sour.
Tell us how you imagine this coming together, you know, as a beer guy. How would you describe this beer to me?
Yeah, I mean, so it's a fruited sour. So we had this in mind for the summer just because, you know, Berliner Weisses are ideal for, you know, when it's hot out and you want something kind of refreshing and you know, sometimes sour and sweet. So that was, you know, that worked very perfectly in theme with the summer series and the fruited series. And then, you know, me personally, I love like really nuanced lagers and like geeky beers. But we like Uptown Beer Society, we love making things that are for everyone and kind of fun and connects two different worlds that necessarily aren't connected. So for us, we're always like kind of looking to do things that are like fun like this and accessible and recognizable and relatable.
Great. And now Joel, you give us the whole story. The latest release, you tell us how it came together and everyone involved.
Yeah, it was the last one. We couldn't really be at the brewery physically just because of the COVID stuff. So we had a lot of phone calls, a lot of texting, a lot of emailing, a lot of sourcing, a lot of plugins. Shout out to Fuzzed Up Bear on Instagram, which is a Dominican Bronx site who does all the artwork for their cans and our collabo cans. I also did an exhibit, all Dominican exhibit, where he hung some of his contemporary art, which was amazing. And then, you know, Coco Cherry Mango, really, a lot of the guys at the carts, they say it a little different. They might say Mango Coco Cherry, like, you know, there's different variations, but the one that I remember the most was Coco Cherry Mango. Like, so that was the name. You know, we put a little vanilla coconut, we put the cherries, the mango, and it was released on Friday, and, you know, they blew out a bunch of beer. They're just now doing deliveries. I believe they began today. Gun Hill sent the beer out. So if you do want beer, you would have to reach out to Gun Hill Brewery and Bronx Beer Hall if they still have. I don't know. They did really. It was. I sent a lot. I had a lot of DMs in my inbox, and I was just like, Bronx Beer Hall, Bronx Beer Hall, Bronx Beer Hall. So I hope you guys did all well with that. It's fun. This is probably going to be the last collabo that we're doing as a nonprofit. We're trying to, you know, move forward and raise some money. So please follow us on Instagram, Uptown Beer Society, for more info. We're dropping merch this summer to kind of help fund our business, our brewery venture, so we can, you know, start reaching a little more closer to our communities and doing more. And it's just been fun. It's 15 collabos. We got one more coming out with Ty from Uptown Beer Society. He's doing a Black Lives Matter thing with Rockaway and Biscuits and Beer, which has a brewery inside the brick and mortar as well, called Dalesview. And that'll probably be the last one until, you know, we figure out our business.
I also wanted to just give a quick, you know, explanation of the name in case it goes over anyone's head. So Mr. Softy has a very famous jingle that it plays when it, you know, pulls up to the block. It's super recognizable. Everyone's heard it before. So these icy vendors actually don't have a jingle exactly, but they all, like Joel said, they'll shout out the names of the flavors. And the one that we remembered was the coco, cherry, mango. So this is something that they actually would shout out over and over and over again on a block, you know, to get people's attention. And yeah, so that's actually where the name idea comes from. It was an homage to them and that, like, that phrase.
Coco, cherry, mango.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, you killed it.
Look, that was perfect. You, if this doesn't work out for you, Jimmy, maybe you can push one of those cards.
I got the plug for you, Jimmy. Yeah, we definitely get you a card.
I might need it because in this simple, I'm not going to talk about it now, but, you know, in this simple COVID life, I like the idea of standing there and serving ice on the street. And
yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Just talking to people, because that's one of my, when I see a vendor like that, I'm going for that first. And I think I'm a coconut guy. I would go cocoa first.
So delicious. So delicious.
Yeah. Well, this is a great show.
We forgot to mention that it's cocoa, cherry, mango, and then proceeds will go to Rainbow, which we'll be donating some proceeds to LGBT org.
In honor of Pride.
It was supposed to come out in June, but with everything, it doesn't matter what month it is. We always want to give back and pay homage to all our communities, our trans women of color that are going through it. You know, the whole LGBT, a lot of people don't know that, you know, that rainbow flag, all those rights that were fought by a Black trans woman. And so when you wear that rainbow and you're, you know, marching, always remember that it started with Black people. It started with Black queer people. And we just want to pay homage to that as well. You know, having queer members in our team and in our industry as well, especially people of color that are also queer and from underserved neighborhoods. So this meant a lot to us.
Well, it's great, man. You guys have done a great job with these projects. And I go back to Kelly. Kelly, just wrap us for us one more time, the Pa'lante project.
The purpose of Pa'lante for me was always to bring awareness and attention to Puerto Rico and representing our rich, beautiful culture in this industry, not just in this city, but in the world.
Boom. Boom.
Thank you. Yeah, and there seems to be so many really great beer collabs. You know, what you guys have built on, you know, as everyone knows, the All Together beer, over 700 breweries around the world made it, I think. And then now the Black is Beautiful Stout. It's probably over 1,000 breweries. So there's a lot of power in beer. Who would like to close the show out and tell me the power of these collaborations and for whatever message, how it can be helpful?
I would say this. If you're going to do something, you know, it's fine to come to New York. You don't have to be from here. That's not what we mean. You don't have to be from New York to live here. You don't have to be from our culture. But at some point, when you come into somebody's neighborhood and you start a business, you have to check yourself and say, what am I representing? Who am I representing? Who will I involve? You can't just go to your corner bodega, have some natural juices or whatever food they have, and go make a beer inspired by that and not involve them. See, what we do is we come up with an idea that is strictly authentic to us, and we still involve the people around us. We still involve the creators. We don't take anyone's intellectual property. And I feel like that's what beer is missing. So, like, if you're going to make a beer, donate, literally donate your time and ingredients. And then the proceeds can, a large percent of the proceeds can go to an, you know, underserved community, person of color, Black Lives Matter organization. We need a lot of these breweries to step up. Also, Black is Beautiful. I only seen one or two. What's going on, New York? If you're trying to do that, reach out to your Black customers, reach out to the Black people, and you ask them for their opinion. Ask them where they stand. They're going to guide you. Don't try to do this alone is what I'm saying. Or don't do it. Do what is organic to you. You know what I'm saying? That's all I have to say. And thank you, Jimmy, for always supporting us and always giving us a voice on Beer Sessions Radio. We love you. You're definitely one of the allies and coolest people I know. Shout out to Bronx Beer Hall. Shout out to Beer Culture. Shout out to Gun Hill for all the projects. Thank you so much, Kelly, for giving us a call and involving all of us. And Big Alice, best communicating brewery that we had when we're doing a collab. We're so proud of the artwork as well that we didn't mention. There's an endangered species on there, the parrot, the native bird, which it just tied in all beautifully. Friends of Puerto Rico, Delicioso Cocolado, Miss Softy, everybody, thank you.
Boom.
Wow, you guys have been great, man. Thank you so much for joining me at this, the second half. It's been Kelly from Big Alice, Anthony and Paul from Bronx Beer Hall, and Matt and Joel from Uptown Beer Society. Big thanks to Dylan, our producer, Dylan Hoyer, and Matt Patterson, the the main engineer. We're continuing to do our remote. This is like our fourth month of doing during COVID remote recordings from wherever we are. We're from all over the region right now. And big shout out to Heritage Radio Network for keeping this going. I'm Jimmy Carboni. I'm the host. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Woo.
Beer Sessions Radio is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.